Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia. Shout out to the folks hanging out on the YouTube stream, 106.7 The Fan page. New cameras. That joint looks good.
It does.
We're going to the Rude guest hotline right away. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. David Aldridge from The Athletic,
the
D.C.
The legend.
D.A., the Hall of Famer. What's up, dude?
Gentlemen, what's happening?
What up, D?
Things got busy all of a sudden for us, D.A.
I like it. It meets the alternative.
Sure does.
Yeah, you got to dip your toe into your old school, too, now.
Yeah. Let's start on the hardwood. Wizards yeah. trade for Trae Young. D.A., yep. there's nobody that knows the association better than you. How yep. surprised were you by this, or at least when you first heard of it, to kind of get into the finish line?
I was not surprised that it got done once it was obvious that Trae Young had an interest in the Wizards. I'm a little surprised that the Wizards went for it. Couple of reasons, one is the obvious one. He doesn't fit anything in any way what they've put together the last 2 years. You know, they've drafted Young, they've drafted Long, they've drafted guys who want to try to play defense. They want guys that can switch, play multiple positions, and Trae fits none of those categories. He's 6'2", 164. That is yeah. tiny. It's tiny in the NBA. He's not a good defensive player at all. He's just not. You know, yeah. you can't. There's no way to spin it. He's not a good defensive player. He's not any worse than C.J. McCollum was, but he's not good. Even more than that, though, guys, the thing that I just kind of scratch my head about is, you know, these guys, for the first time over these last couple of weeks, we finally started to see these young guys really start to play well. Like, for real. Like, not BS playing against bad teams. They have played really good basketball against some, you know, pretty solid teams. They beat Milwaukee twice. They beat Orlando the other night, and it was a blowout until they took their foot off the gas. They were up by 26 near the end of the third quarter. They beat Memphis twice. Like, they've played well. You know, Sarr's been really good defensively. Trae Johnson's been really good offensively. and Koulibaly has been very good defensively and is actually starting to show a little offensive capability. Mm-hmm. So it was the first time you could actually see them start to kind of, hey, yeah, we're good. We can be good in this league. And now, almost by default, because you have to do it, you bring Trae Young in, well, everybody's going to defer to Trae Young because mm-hmm. he's a four-time All-Star. You know, he is a very talented offensive player. He has dropped off a little from a couple of years ago, but he's still the best player they got on offense mm-hmm. by a lot. You know, so he's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. Now he's their thought process is he can get the best versions of our players offensively through his gravity, and there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. Mm-hmm. He will draw defenses. He will draw attention. He is a very good passer. He led the league in assists last year. He's averaged double-figure assists 3 years in a row. He will pass the ball. So he's not a selfish guy. But the ball's in his hands all the time. You know what I mean? They're not running him off of pin downs and he's coming up and taking jumpers. No, he's deciding what happens, right? Yeah. And so that just kind of goes against everything that they've been building up for the last couple of years. And the rationale is, well, we want to try to be a little more competitive next year. Okay. Because he ain't going to play at all the rest of this year, guys. That's not happening. He ain't playing. I'm just telling you that right now. Don't expect to see Trae Young, you know, playing Friday night against the Pelicans. That's not happening. When he plays next year, though, they want to try to make a little run, maybe at the play-in. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't mind that. It's just a little odd. It's an odd fit to me.
Yeah.
That's all.
Is it an odd thing that could possibly work? I just look at him, the way he can shoot and pass, and Trae Johnson, the way he can shoot. The right. spacing that would have to be on the
Absolutely.
Court. Well, if
Absolutely.
You leave him wide, if you leave Trae Johnson yeah. wide open, you could have like a, what's my man, set the 3-point record back in the day.
Oh, Steph Curry.
Nah, before Steph.
Oh,
Ray
yeah,
Allen.
Reggie Miller,
he'd be
Ray
a Ray Allen type dude with all yeah, the wide yeah, open
yeah.
shots.
No doubt, no doubt, no yeah. doubt. Yes. No, I get it. I get what they're saying. I mean, and that's all of that's true. He will get shots for Trae Johnson. He will, Alex Saar will feast off of his lobs. He's the best lob thrower in the league. There's nobody better at throwing a lob than Trae Young. He's the best. And he's really good at it. So Alex is going to get 3 or 4 lob dunks every game now. Because Trae is a great lob thrower. Keyshawn George, he's been the primary ball handler when he's been out there. Now he will be the secondary ball handler, which is probably what he should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really want him to be the primary guy. You want him on the weak side. The ball comes to him, and now he's coming downhill on a 2-on-1 on the weak side. That's great. That's a green light. You know, that's good. You want that. So from that standpoint, yes, I think Trae Young can unlock a lot of their offense, which has been really, really bad, and we've seen it. If you've watched them this year, you know, it's been a lot of C.J. McCollum bailing them out late in the shot clock, and that's not what you really want, right? And so now you will get a lot more ball movement. You get a lot more scoring early in the shot earlier in the shot clock, and there's nothing wrong with that. And good offense helps you win games, right?
Yeah.
It does. But it's just a it's more a matter of the – to me, it's just more of the kind of the philosophy of roster building.
Mm-hmm.
And everything they've done for 2.5 years has been going in the same direction, and this goes in a very different direction.
Yeah, I agree with that. And my biggest concern, D.A., and, you know, smart people are
– So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup – not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
For telling me this shouldn't be that big of a worry. It's my understanding they have to stay in the bottom 4 of the NBA to guarantee they have their first round draft pick.
That's right.
In what's coming
that's
up.
That's why you're not playing this year.
And that's
exactly right. You'd be Mets paying attention, JP.
He's always paying attention.
No, that's exactly right. So, yes, they have to finish with the bottom 4 to assure. It doesn't mean if they finish 5th, they won't get the pick. There means there's a not zero chance they won't get the pick. If they finish 1, 2, 3, or 4, there is no chance they won't keep their pick. They will keep their pick.
And so you're
no
confident.
Way they can't keep their pick.
They understand the mission here, right?
They understand the mission, yes.
Okay. All right. That's...
I think you can see, if you look at what Toronto did last year, well, I shouldn't say what Toronto did. This was the outcome, because I can't sit here and tell you this is what they did this. I can tell you they traded for Brandon Ingram. He did not play a second for them. They traded for him about the same time that this trade is going down. He did not play a second for them.
Okay.
He didn't play one game for the Raptors after he got traded there.
Mm.
And they wound up keeping their pick and picking 9th. You know? And so if you look at Philly last year, they had to keep their top – the pick had to be top 6 for them to keep it. Otherwise, they had to give – I think it was Oklahoma City, of course, because Oklahoma City is in every trade. And I'm pretty sure Philly went something like 5-31 the rest of the second half of the season.
Gotcha.
You know, Embiid didn't play, Maxey didn't play, nobody played. So I suspect I can't predict it. I can't guarantee it, but I think there will be some injuries down the stretch.
There you go. They understand the mission.
Re-aggravation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Talking with our friend David Aldridge here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give DA a follow at David Aldridge DC. Read all of his work in The Athletic. So before I switch to football, DA, you seem like you kind of lukewarm like this trade.
I would say that's fair, yes. Okay. I will call it lukewarm because I do understand they should, and if they keep the pick, assuming they keep the pick, they're going to add a really good rookie next year, right? So if they keep the pick, now you're adding a really good rookie from a loaded draft and Trae Young. That's not bad. And they still have almost $50 million in cap room after bringing Trae Young in. Because they had $80 million in cap room for next year. Now, Trae Young takes up about, well, it'll take up about, I think it's 49
was the number.
40-some million of that. Yeah. So they're still going to have $25, $30 million in cap space to do something if they want to do it next year. So they could bring in a third player. They could. They may not, but they could. So I see that. So fairness dictates that we give that group a chance to play together and see how good they can be.
All right. I like it. Now we're switching over to football, right?
Yep.
You and I were there Monday night when Dan Quinn and Adam Peters addressed the media, and Adam Peters said he doesn't make coaching decisions. That's Dan Quinn. Less than 24 hours later, the reports came out that Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury were out. The Witt thing is a 0 out of 10 surprise. Mm-hmm. What was your level of surprise with Cliff?
I just have one question. Have they hired Mike McDaniels yet? That's all I need. I ain't got nothing else.
We were going there next.
there ain't no other issue here for me with this team right now. Was I surprised? A little bit. A little. I thought there would be some middle ground. It appears there wasn't any. You know, like, it seems to me that they asked Cliff, Dan asked Cliff if he could change the offense a little bit, put Jaden under center a little bit more, do some other things. Again, I think to mitigate the risk. Nobody is saying you can eliminate risk. It's
totally
football. It's violent. We understand that. But you can mitigate the risk. You can reduce the risk. And I think that's what they were saying. Look, let's see if we can you change your offense so that we reduce the potential of Jaden getting exposed to hits? And it seems like Cliff said, no, I can't. That's my offense. And they said, all right, well, then we can't go forward. That's what I think happened. I mean, until we hear something contrary, I think that's what happened.
I in that type of situation, like, we watch it all over the world, man. Every business you out there, that you have out there, somebody asks you to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not the final say and you don't adjust, you're gone. Point blank.
Yeah, exactly. Our business model changed a few years ago at The Athletic. It wasn't the model that I signed up for. Now I have two choices. I can say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. I'm leaving. Or I can say, all right, let me try to do it this way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it this way.
Yeah, me and JP right now talking to you on video and everything else. We didn't sign up for that.
Yeah. Things happen. Yeah. So, and I'm not mad at Cliff. If Cliff feels very strongly about his offense, which he should, by the way, it's worked at the NFL, at the highest level, it's worked. And frankly, I think Cliff realizes there are other opportunities. He could be a head coach in the NFL somewhere next year. He could. So I get it. I'm not mad at him. Sometimes people move on, and that's life. People move on. And again, have they hired Mike McDaniel yet? Because that's the only question that I have that matters right now with this football team. Because that's the most obvious fix to a bad situation that you could possibly have.
Yeah, yeah. I we all kind of heard that throughout the year, especially when Miami was really struggling. Like, oh, man, McDaniel will make a ton of sense here.
Right.
Then Miami gets hot late. They start really running the hell out of the football. And it seemed like McDaniel was going to hold on to that job
until
Baltimore fired Harbaugh.
That changed it. I think he's still the coach if Harbaugh doesn't get fired, right?
The chain reactions, man.
Totally agree with you.
Absolutely. Look, this is the most – I mean, this is so obvious, guys. Like, it's not – he is really – they are really good friends. He has said, Dan Quinn helped save my life.
Yeah.
This is is a no-brainer. He's brilliant offensively. He runs Shanahan. He ran it. Look at what Miami did when they were at their best. Did Tua throw the ball a lot? Yeah, he did. Did they give the ball to Raheem Mostert a lot? Yes, they did. They had, in fact, they had two backs, and they divided the labor, and it was a really good offense. Now they had Tariq Hill at his prime, taking the top off, and so personnel wise they could do some things. But this is, man. Now maybe he gets another head coaching job, and then you can't keep him from a head coaching job. But I would certainly be throwing everything at him right now to come to D.C. to run this offense.
In 2023, McDaniel's best year in Miami, they were first in passing yards, sixth in rushing yards, first in the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 27.
Yep. Yeah.
If you want somebody to run the Shanahan zone blocking run scheme, he was the Niners run game coordinator for four years before he got the job.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and look, again, this isn't a poverty ask. You're asking, hey, do you want to come work with Jaden Daniels for the next 5 years? That's right. Not a bad. Come on now. We're not having a telethon for the Commanders right now. That's a pretty good gig. So I think they got a great set. He knows Quinn. They are friends, not work friends, friends.
Yeah. Real life stuff.
And I think Dan is secure enough to understand. I'm always looking at how coaches do this. I got to hire somebody that's good enough to replace me if I really care about the team.
True.
And that would be Mike McDaniel, right? Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's what I would do if I were Dan Quinn, and be secure enough to say, yeah, this guy's good enough. If it doesn't work and they fire me, they're going to hire him. Okay, I don't care. Let's do it.
Yeah. What, if any, concern do you have for Jaden with Tavita gone, Cliff gone? We'll see what other changes shake out.
I mean, I don't have as many as I think other people do. I think everything we know about Jaden Daniels is that he is a workaholic. He is a voracious film guy. He is at the park early, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, looking at tape. So why would we think he can't pick up an offense that half of the NFL runs, more than half of the NFL runs? See, we're not asking him to learn Russian. You know what I mean?
Like, I hear football players, like, I know you got different terminologies, but football is football. And if a guy got to just learn a terminology, I've heard enough about Jaden and I've watched him enough to know he's not going to have a problem with that.
I don't think I have any problem with it. There's a difference between having no problem with it and there being no adjustment. There will be an adjustment period. And it may take him half of next season to really feel comfortable in the offense. Okay. I think that's worth it for the potential payoff down the road, because this could be really good with him. If you get Mike McDaniel here teaching Jaden Daniels this offense, this could be really good. Really good.
I agree with you, DA. I think for Jaden operating in a different fashion. Do you agree with me here? Jaden and Marcus and other players on Monday when we were there for locker cleanout, they got asked about Cliff because the media is not dummies. We understand there's something brewing here, right? And they all said, love Cliff, love working with Cliff. But I believe Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, you may have even asked the question about Jaden's involvement in kind of what happens next. I think in absolute terms, whether it was Dan or Adam, they let Jaden know a change was coming. Do you agree with that?
Oh, sure. I would be shocked if you always let the best player know what's happening. Like, the best player should never be surprised by anything you do. He or she should know about that days or weeks in advance. Because that's the deference you pay to the best player on any team in any sport. I can't imagine he was shocked by it. Come on, that doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
I think he knew about it. Do I think he and his camp liked Cliff Kingsbury and loved working with him? Absolutely. And they should have, because Cliff made it possible for Jaden to cook in the way Jaden can cook. And I get it. I'm not mad at them for having loyalty. I like people who are loyal. I like that. But this is big boy football. Coaches get fired. And now you have to work with another coach. That's what happens with everybody who plays in the NFL. You know?
It happens all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
D.A., last thing. Friday night, Derek Queen and the Pelicans coming to town. Trae Young, highly unlikely to be playing Friday night, if at all, right?
Right. Yeah, no, he ain't playing.
Is this
the Friday night next year?
The most... But the most juice for a Wizards home game without like Steph Curry or Giannis or without the juice being built by the other team.
Right, for the Wizards.
Because I even saw you had that tweet about one of the Wiz guys getting on, I think it was NBA TV post game.
Yeah, it was
like,
Star.
There's a little bit of buzz going.
Yes. Yes, there is. And I don't think it's going to stop because of the trade. It just has to go in a different direction now, I guess. But yeah, no, there is. Like, I think people, and I get it, like the Wizards, and they've earned a lot of the scorn. I get it, because they've been bad for the most, with one or two exceptions, the Wall years and you know, a couple of years of Gilbert. They've been a joke for 40 years. Like, they have been completely irrelevant in the NBA. So they've earned a lot of that scorn. But it's lazy to say, oh, same old Wizards. No, they're not the same old Wizards.
No,
they're not.
No.
They're not. Like, Michael Wiener and Will Dawkins know what they're doing. And it may not work, but it's not because they don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And they have drafted pretty well, I would say, the last 3 years. The draft picks that they have, you know, because Sarr got clowned when he debuted in Vegas in the summer league last year. He was terrible. And people thought, oh, this is the worst pick ever. He's the worst, biggest bust in the history of the world. I don't hear that anymore now. Now he's blocking five shots against Orlando. You know, mm-hmm. They're getting better. They have a chance.
Yeah.
Now whether it's Trae Young that ties it all together, or Ji DeBonsa that ties it all together, or Darren Peterson that ties it all together, or some other star player, I don't know. But these young guys are showing some signs, some real ones, that they know that they're pretty good, that they have a chance to be really good.
Appreciate you, DA. Seriously,
all right, Dave.
Thanks,
appreciate
dude.
You, bro.
All right, guys. My pleasure, as always.
All right, man.
David Aldridge from The Athletic. Give him a follow at David Aldridge DC. Kind enough to join us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Bleep You Thursday coming up at 1 o'clock.